During the late 19th and early 20th century, large lumber companies laid waste and plundered the vast forest lands across North America, including northern Minnesota. In the decades since then, we have learned a lot about forest and forest management. We figured out how to harvest trees, value forests for more than just a source for wood products. And now, timber harvesting is increasingly seen as an important solution to our environmental problems. For example, growing and harvesting trees removes carbon from the atmosphere and locks it up for decades. Right now, there's no other way at any meaningful scale to remove carbon from the atmosphere. Eli Sagar joins us today to talk about forest management in a changing climate. He's an extension specialist with the University of Minnesota, based at the Cloquet Forestry Center. Eli, welcome back to KAXE KBXE.
Hey, Heidi and John, it's terrific to be back on air with you two.
Nice to hear your voice, Eli. I understand you're in the far north today.
I'm looking out over Fall Lake up north of Ely, basically due north of Ely. I'm at the Hubachek Wilderness Research Center, excuse me. It's a University of Minnesota, one of the research and outreach centers for the university. I'll tell you, it's a tough job to be up here, but someone's got to do it. We're right here on the edge of the boundary waters, and I'm here for a couple of days of planning. We're doing some strategic planning for the Cloquet Forestry Center and Hubachek Wilderness Research Center for the next couple of days. So, yeah, it's good to be out in the Northwoods.
So, Eli, let's talk a little bit about some of the things some conversations that will be going on in Bemidji. But first, let's talk about how forest management relates to climate change.
Well, I'm glad you introduced the segment the way you did. It's really interesting when we start to think about how forestry has evolved, how the world has evolved around us, and put that in the context of environmental problems. I mean, many of us are thinking and are concerned about things like a changing climate. And you mentioned, Heidi, in the intro about how, way back 100, 150 years ago, a lot of timber was harvested, but our forests really were not managed at that time. That period was really all about timber extraction. How can we get that resource out of the woods? And a lot of good came from that in the sense of providing materials, renewable materials that could build cities. And we're all familiar with at least the basics of that history, how important that lumber was to the construction of cities like Chicago, Twin Cities, and many others. But that also created a lot of problems. This is the 100th anniversary of the Cloquet Fire, the massive Cloquet Fire of 1918. And the approach that was used then, not really managing our forest resources, but simply extracting that resource, was a big contributor to those problems. That was then, things have really changed an awful lot now, and again, you mentioned in the intro a big part of that. We're seeing climate change happening. It's becoming more and more obvious, both in measured temperature records and really just in what we see around us. It's really pretty hard to miss the shorter winters that we've been experiencing the last few years. And there's a lot of variation. There's always been variation in that from year to year in our part of the world. But we're seeing more of that. And that is related, of course, to a changing climate. That's one example of it or manifestation of it. That's all being driven by carbon. And we're not used to thinking about carbon when we think about forests, but it's increasing levels of atmospheric carbon that are driving that increase or the changes, especially around here in our winter temperatures. And Heidi, as you said in the intro, what can we do about that? If more and more carbon going into the atmosphere is contributing to some pretty serious problems, what can we do to slow that down, mitigate that, help our forests adapt to that? Well, if you remember your, high school science classes, you know that through the process of photosynthesis, trees take carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and turn it into wood and the other, parts of growing trees and plants. And when they do that, they sequester. You might hear the term carbon sequestration. Well, that's what that means. It's It's removing carbon from the atmosphere and sequestering it or putting it into the wood of that growing tree. And, you know, Minnesota's got a huge amount of forest. About a third of the state is forested now, 17 million acres. You know, if you have a tree, Harry was just talking about mowing around trees, but another problem with trees in your yard is sometimes they fall over. If you've ever tried to move one of those, you know they're pretty heavy. Well, trees, a lot of that weight, well, about half of that weight in a fresh tree is water. But once you get rid of the water, half of what's left over is carbon. And that's still pretty heavy, even once that tree is dried out. Well, you multiply that across 17 million acres of forest land, and there's a lot of carbon in our woods. And so really growing trees can be an important way. And like Heidi said, there's really no other way at any scale, even close to that, to pull that carbon out of the atmosphere and hopefully slow down that process of contributing to a changing climate.
Eli, with increasing levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, will this have a net effect on plant growth? Will we grow bigger trees, more trees? I mean, if there's more food available, does it translate into more trees?
That's a really interesting question, and it's funny you ask. It's funny that I'm here just about right next to one of the country's biggest and best experiments to investigate exactly that. There's an experiment called the Be Forewarmed Project. That Be Forewarmed stands for something, and I'm not going to try to flub the words on air to get it, but it's a project where University of Minnesota researchers are, they have a bunch of different tree species planted, and they are artificially warming both the air and the soil around those trees to see how slightly warmer conditions are affecting growth. And there's a really complicated answer. You know, forest ecosystems are complicated, John, and you know that well. And it's hard to say. So maybe a short answer is that some tree species surely will grow a little bit better under warmer conditions and also under a carbon-enriched atmosphere. So if there's more carbon dioxide, and as we said before, photosynthesis involves taking carbon dioxide, converting it into oxygen and wood, well, if there's more of that around, then you'll see faster growth, more wood produced per tree. But that's not true of all trees. And there are many trees that are on the southern edge of their range where we are now. Minnesota, one of the things that makes Minnesota so interesting biologically and geographically is that we're at the kind of the junction of three major biomes. You think of them broadly as kind of forest types or biotic communities. And as the particularly winter conditions change, we're likely to see more movement in those biome boundaries and therefore more changes in what trees and other plants can thrive and do well than maybe people would be in other places because of our proximity. We're right on the edge between the forest and the prairie, the hardwood forest, the big woods system, and the what we think of as the northern forest, the pine, spruce, aspen, fir, and so on, that we see more in northern and northeastern Minnesota. So some of those trees, the trees that do better south of us, are likely to grow a little better, as you suggested, John. But many other trees, including many of the species that we think of as those iconic Northwood species, might not do so well. And another thought about, so I already mentioned carbon sequestration as a really important way that forests can help with a changing climate. But another one is thinking about how disturbances happen. So many of Minnesota's forests are what we call fire dependent. We used to have pretty frequent fires across northern Minnesota, and over the last 100 years or so, we've become really very good, very efficient at suppressing fire. That's great, obviously, for all kinds of reasons, protecting properties and human lives and all sorts of things. But those forest types that depend on fire and frequent disturbance are no longer getting the same kind of disturbance, at least from fire. They're not getting that disturbance in the same way that they used to. and harvesting timber, creating gaps and openings in the forest, whether it's clear-cut gaps or thinnings or other kinds of things. Fires are really always, they don't tend to wipe out a whole area. They tend to, burn in, a finger over here and a lobe of burn over there, and they create kind of a mosaic across the landscape. And eliminating that disturbance really changes the ways that those forest ecosystems function. Again, there are very good reasons to suppress fire, but it's important that we create those opportunities for new growth, that we create those disturbances in order to kind of reinvigorate that forest. So there's a lot going on out there. And as I said before, during the early period of really timber extraction and harvesting 100 years ago that you talked about at the top, and between that period and now, we really have learned to think very differently about how we manage our forests and how these ecosystems are functioning and how we can be a helpful part of that rather than causing problems.
What do you think is going to be the future of the forest industry in Minnesota? The paper industry seems to be in decline, perhaps, maybe just holding stasis. Other industries are maybe springing up. Some are falling away. Where do you see the forest going in the future? I mean, will we continue to see a lot of logging and that sort of thing, or will we see more mature forests?
Boy, that's a good question too, and that one's a little, I don't know, John. It's so hard to look into the future and in a global marketplace, and now there's a lot of talk about tariffs and just all sorts of things that have big impacts on how these big corporations make decisions. I just don't know. I will say this, in Minnesota we have an abundant natural resource in the form of trees and the wood fiber that they can produce. Trees grow well here. We have a relatively intact forest, meaning unlike some other parts of the country, our forests are less fragmented, both in terms of ownership and in terms of land cover. And so we have good opportunities here to produce, to have expansive wildlife habitat for forest-dependent species, but also to produce a fair bit of wood. And I tend to think that in that kind of an environment, there will be a viable industry that'll spring up that'll be maintained in one form or another to use those products. So will we have the same mills or be producing the same products in 10, 20, 50 years in Grand Rapids in the area that we do now? Boy, I just don't know. But I am really pretty confident that we'll be producing something from our forests. We just grow and produce such good quality wood here. The aspen that we produce just has such good properties that make it really desirable for paper production, pulp and paper production. It's hard for me to imagine that that there won't be an industry ready to make use of that product. Again, what that industry will look like, I don't know. I do think that we're seeing a lot of innovation in that sector. I think that as we're becoming more and more aware of as I said before, forestry and forest management as an important part of the solution to some of these environmental problems, I think that's just one more reason to support the industry and to, one more source of value that we get from that industry. So I think it's going to be maintained, but boy, I sure don't know exactly what it'll look like.
Eli Sager, an extension specialist with the U of M based at Cloquet Forestry Center. Eli, tomorrow there'll be more conversation about this, forests and climate change in Bemidji. What's going on?
Well, that's just going to be fun. There's going to be a party downtown at the Paul Bunyan Park, the park right on the edge of Lake Bemidji. I'm going to be there just kind of visiting with a few friends and talking about how we want to, we're really interested across the region, not just in Bemidji, but in the region at cultivating a conversation about the role of forests and forest management in our communities. How can we use forest management to improve wildlife habitat, to produce wood products, to help to solve some of the kinds of problems we've been talking about with a changing climate? So there's no formal event going on tomorrow night, but anyone who's in town, I would sure enjoy visiting. I'd encourage folks to come on by that party. I think I'll be there at around 6 o'clock, meeting up with some folks. And we're going to be talking about just kicking around ideas for how we can continue this conversation. We'll be doing some sort of an event, and I expect KAXE will be involved in one way or another with that event sometime in the fall. I don't know exactly what it'll look like, but we've been talking with the Bemidji Area Forestry Affairs Committee. They're on board, and some other folks right in town there in Bemidji. And we'll be kicking around some ideas and really looking for folks in the community who are interested in that that conversation about forests and conservation and how that all fits together in northern Minnesota. So I'd love to see anyone who's around Bemidji and hanging out at that party down on the edge of the lake tomorrow evening.
Sounds great, Eli Sager. And keep us posted on the stuff coming up in the fall, and we'll keep the conversation going here, too, as well.
Hey, thanks, Heidi, and good to talk to you both this morning.
Nice to talk to you, Eli. Thanks for joining us.
If you would like to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. Comments at KAXE.org. That's Eli Sager from the University of Minnesota Extension at the Cloquet Forestry Center. And like he said, he's going to be at the Lake Bemidji Park tomorrow. Big party, Paul Bunyan Park, and it'll be there about 6, and more conversation about forestry and climate change. It's kind of an interesting way to think of it.
It's going to be an interesting future.